version.
Everything is super. It was Joshua all along. Everything is super. It was Kevin all along. Everything is super. It's LaTanya all along. Is that pretty close, Kevin? LaTanya, did I get the essence of the song?
I think you're doing like a 90s remix of it, but yeah, like adding in a little bit like grunge to the key, but I think
LT, was that close?
That was pretty close. There was a little Creed in there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, I just heard.
Is it Creed? Is it Pearl Jam? Or is it Stevie Wonder? Which one? Just all have that.
WandaVision.
Wow.
WandaVision.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous part about this is
Agatha
not that you
spoken. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's not the Eddie Vedder of it all. It's not the most ridiculous part of this is that you don't tell us that you're going to do this stuff.
Right.
And then we have to just sit here and try to not audibly laugh.
Well, there's the argument that, like, I should include you in my plans as we're launching into a podcast. Hi, everybody. It's the WandaVision podcast, by the way. That way you're braced for it. And then there's the argument, which I tend to lean towards, is I should just surprise you as I surprise everybody else. Just like we find out how everyone's going to react. And sometimes it pays off well, and sometimes it pays off kind of poorly.
I wonder if this is like a metaphor for something we're going to be talking about today in any way, shape, or form.
No. Yeah, Kevin coming in a little spicy. I know that this was not Kevin's favorite thing. LaTanya, I think you enjoyed this quite a bit. First of all, LaTanya, oh my goodness.
So good to have you back.
Oh, gee.
Hi.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so happy. LaTanya is here. We just spent the first, 20 or so minutes of us being on here talking about our cats, which was lovely.
Not me, I don't have a cat, but
no, but Kevin knows my old cats. Yes. So we were talking about the late great Leopardo DiCaprio. That we'll leave it there. LaTanya, welcome back. You've missed a couple of WandaVision episodes.
I've listened to them though, to your episodes. I'm not Kevin.
I'm sorry. You had
actually listen.
You had a great response where I think it was for this last one. You're like, LaTanya leaves and it just becomes like theory shit posting for an hour.
It just becomes Big Bird's theory time.
Yeah.
Who's Big Bird and who's Snuffleupagus, by the way?
I'm definitely Snuffleupagus. Come on.
Yeah, tracks.
Like Josh is going to call it.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed the podcast. I think that you all are so funny when you're together because you just have this shorthand of being friends for a million years, which is really, I don't know, it just like cracks me up.
Yeah.
I love the wild theorizing, partially because it's a lot of fun. But also because I love that the way that we're rewarded for theorizing is just by like the most parsimonious answer you can think of, right? Like, who is the missing person? The missing person is Vision, right?
Right.
That's parsimony, which was a scientific term that I still remember and understand. So I think that that's what we're getting in this episode.
For anyone who maybe doesn't have such a vocabulary, I'm just, potentially speaking for members of the audience and definitely not for me. What is that?
It's just that the simplest answer tends to be the more correct one.
It's Occam's razor.
Cool.
But I like in case saying someone didn't know. More than
just in case
razor.
Someone else didn't know.
Yeah. I like
just
razors.
In case another person.
So I lean towards Occam's razors.
Headlines.
Like,
let's go headlines first. Headlines really quickly. Agatha Harkness.
Yes. Agatha Harkness. Big headline is the reveal that Agatha it was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha all along. And I was right. And
headline.
It should have been an egg bet. That's my headline.
All right. We owe LaTanya a retroactive egg. Headline. We've got another superhero in the mix.
Yes.
We've got some powers on the board, LaTanya.
Yes. Happy Black History Month, everyone.
Yes.
Because Tiana Paris as Monica Rambeau is here to superpower everything that needs to be superpowered and to have superhero landings. And I love it.
Headline.
Don't know what the name is yet, though, but she has a multitude to choose from.
So many names.
Headline. It was not Reed Richards all along. It was not Hank McCoy.
This is the thing. And this is I think, part of the discussion I want to
cue you up for, Kevin. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
It's part of the discussion I want to have on it, right? Like, because, like, I've been thinking and doing other things. I haven't just been sitting on the couch staring off into nothing.
Wow, that's definitely a different experience than what I've been going through.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah.
But first of all,
I've been thinking, how do I feel about this episode, right? And I had to, like, do my usual split brainness for a lot of it to, like, how do I feel as just a person watching a show? And then how do I feel, like, from a storytelling perspective? And I think those are two very probably different experiences. And I think, like, just from watching the show, there's a lot I loved about this episode. I loved everything. Even just watching it, I loved everything except, like, the two things, right? Like, the friend thing and then the reveal thing. And even the reveal thing, I think I like, but that's where I bump against my other half, the storytelling part. But, like, in terms of the fan part that loves it, like, dude, the Modern Family stuff, the Office theme, the basically office, coming yeah. in.
That was really
all
cute.
All of that. The Munsters at the end, too, with the Agatha song.
Yes, with the Munster style theme.
Yeah, the dun 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 dun.
Yeah. I liked all of that stuff. It's so weird too, because, like, that era of sitcom is so specific to something not too long ago. My fiance and I were talking about this, and she was, like, pointing out, like, there's something about it where you watch it, and even though it wasn't that long ago, and it's so hard to pull off something so prevalent in our minds to be like, yeah, that was a very specific time period, and it's not that anymore now, because it's changed. Like, like these type of sitcoms have shifted in tone, but it really hit it. It really nailed it. And even the commercial of, like, you know, the old, like, Humira medication stuff, like, which we watch now, we still feel like that's retro, but it's only retro to, like, 8 years ago, like, maybe a decade. So all that was, like, really well done. Vision was A+. Darcy was A+. There's so much I really loved about all of the stuff that they pulled off. The things that they've been doing, the sitcom stuff, right, has never, I think, faltered. And all of that excelled. The Monica stuff I really loved. I loved that the machine, like, you know, there's a part in the episode where the whole thing was leading up to, like, her friend developed something to help them break through into the barrier, and then they showed up, and it's just like, here's this truck, and they don't explain it at all. They're just like, why would this work? I don't know, science. Which is why I'm glad it didn't work. Like, I love that they're just like, they were so confident to be like, yes, we could do this, and the truck started to go.
It was their toughest space rover, so you can imagine that it's been literally in space,
correct?
But it cannot penetrate whatever hex
possibly Nexus style multiversal space. So I like that it didn't work, but I love the moment where you get Monica coming into her own and her powers activating, which from a number of glowing eyes makes me also think about Infinity Stones. But all that stuff I really liked. And then there's the other half.
Okay, let's parse that out. Yeah.
So the other half, there's two things, and I think I'll do the easy one first. If not Reed Richards. If anything, that's a lot on us, right? That's on us for what we've been doing. I will say it's slightly on the show, and it's really hard to, like, parse out these type of things, because this comes to the storytelling part. When you withhold information from the audience, you are instilling an idea into the audience's mind that that information can come later as something important. Because when people talk, while they don't always say their friend's name, when you're telling someone who doesn't know them, you would introduce them or say something. So when Monica says early on, I have a friend that's an astrophysicist, or we can go meet my friend. Yes, that's somewhat conversational towards normalcy, but you would say that person's name. You would have revealed it unless it was purposefully withheld. So that felt like such a, like, moment that walks a line between them wanting us to theorize and then revealing nothing. But is also on us for over theorizing, which is really, go ahead, Josh.
Well, no, I had a thought about that because I hear that, but I was also trying to think about, like, what could the potential utility of this actually be? Could it be to disarm us because there is something, like, so major still to come that, like, we're spending so much time thinking, like, who's the astrophysicist? And then we get to this moment and it's just her friend. that like we're not going to see some shoe falling out of the sky when like, I don't know, like Hugh Jackman shows up or whatever, you know?
I mean, maybe, right? And like that would be really cool. But this is also like for me where I, so little known thing about me, well, one thing you do know about me, I don't watch a lot of trailers. I try to avoid spoilers because like experiencing the show as they come. One thing that I have stopped doing for a very, very long time until extremely recently, one might say from 7 weeks ago, is that I don't like theorizing about shows anymore. And this came from a very bizarre place.
You're on the wrong podcast. I know,
right? This came from Rick and Morty, hilariously. I used to theorize all the time about stuff, like from Lost and all that stuff and Heroes. Like I was really into that. And like, what does this mean? And theorizing, I mean, House of M, when I was reading it, I was rampantly theorizing who's behind this. And I was like, it could only be one specific person. And the reveal was that it was. And I was very happy because it's the only thing that made sense. And then Rick and Morty, I remember between seasons 2 and 3, season 2 ended in such a way that everyone, all the fans were just like, what does it mean? Is there a different Morty from a different universe? Oh, maybe this is the evil one. And maybe Rick is causing this. And there's a time shift. We did all this stuff, all this theorizing. And then season 3 started. And season 3 basically threw all of it out the window in a very almost purposeful way. And it was like weird and crazy and wacky. And there was this whole thing with the Szechuan sauce in the episode. I'm not even talking about real life because that part is, I hate people sometimes, but the whole point, as I sat there, I remember something happening in my head. And as I watched it, I didn't get mad, but I almost laughed. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's not what this show is. This show isn't about that. What are we doing? And like, it was just such a weird experience. So I stopped theorizing. And of course, I come onto a weekly podcast. And what else are we going to be doing? But like coming up with theories, right?
I mean, I think I don't know. Latanya, I would love your take on like the question of like, is there. Like, what's the balance on, like, danger in theorizing on a weekly show versus, like, joy in theorizing on a weekly show? And, like, where do you get that, like, I don't know, is there, like, a middle ground to strike? And I don't know, just any of your thoughts on this particular conversation, because I do think it's, like, a big water cooler discussion that's happening across the board as it pertains to WandaVision.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think that you can have any Marvel property at all without and be doing a podcast about it without doing some theorizing. I think that's the point of these types of genre shows or the movies themselves. Like, it lends to theorizing from the very beginning, from when the trailers come out. You're theorizing about who's going to be who and like how characters got to where they are and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that honestly, with the way that it was presented with saying, I've got a guy, you know, and we don't know who this person is. And we are fairly, I mean, this like Monica is a fairly new character to us, at least grown up Monica is. So we don't know who Monica knows. So, of course, theorizing about who it could be and, you know, then thus being disappointed when it's just, you know, a person that Monica knows from S.W.O.R.D. Who has like some cool tech. That all makes sense. I think there's some room for theorizing, but I think that you can go overboard a little bit with it. Like, you know, you can lose the thread of the story and what's going on and kind of the emotional beats of the actual thing in front of you when the only thing that you're kind of like myopically focused on is who is coming, who's next, what's next. And so I've kind of missed just really stopping down and focusing on the characters themselves that we're seeing every week and what's driving them and how they're reacting to all of these ridiculous circumstances that are occurring all the time. So I think there's definitely a place for theorizing. I think, you know, they invite theorizing in this show in particular and have done so over the past weeks. For several things. Like I mentioned the missing person. We theorized about who that could be for a while at the beginning. And now we're theorizing about, is there going to be another big reveal later? Maybe this is kind of like the mini, mini reveal that we get that's super cool. And then later on, we get a much bigger reveal. But I think if we just kind of like go all the way down the rabbit hole and we're doing nothing but theorizing and we're not talking about really what, like what's on the table and what's been presented to us in a like, rich
what's
text
the
like
show
this,
about?
Yeah. What is the show about? Yeah. Then we're missing out on something.
I completely agree. And I think that we've been doing that. Like, I think like this is a show that's very clearly about grief. And right now, what excites me, the why I think I'm more excited than frustrated, and I'm not frustrated with the Agatha Harkness thing. It makes sense. It totally does. We thought that, you know, and I said this to I believe it was the great Potion Recaps patron Riley, that like the reason why I think that this moment at the end of the episode specifically, that it was Agatha all along, it's a big plot reveal that Agnes is an antagonist, whether we want to say a villain, we don't know the full picture quite yet. But the reason why it's played the way that it is, sort of like, you know, more for laughs and more for a moment and more as like kind of like a show stopping Catherine Hahn musical number where, and I killed the dog too, you know, like the whole reveal at the end, that it's played that way as a TV moment and less as like an enormous twist with huge emotional ramifications. Because I think it was like, it was always going to, it was never something that they felt like they could hide. Like that wasn't something that was really, really deeply hidden. Like her name is Agnes. It's Agatha Harkness. Like it's the combination of the two. It was always going to be that way.
But hidden the reason for whom, why Josh? That's the question, right? For sure. Us who knows that name. Sure. But if you're like a person who doesn't know the comic stuff, that, of course that's hidden.
Sure, of course. But I think that like the reasons why it can be played the way that it's played there are twofold. One, I suspect this is not the full story and that there's definitely something darker and deeper that's going on. Yeah, I mean, I guess like that's the big reason why I think it can be played this way. And then the second thing I was going to say is like the reason I'm excited about it is because I think that it, this has a great, opportunity to, explore something very thematically rich in an already thematically rich show about how to process grief and loss. And in this case, potentially what it is with Agatha, with it being Agatha all along and like, what's the scope of that? Is this all just Agatha Harkness? I definitely don't think so. I think the way that I'm reading it, and I'd love to get your takes on this, is that this is like taking advantage of somebody, like taking advantage of somebody when they're at their lowest, like taking advantage of somebody's grief and wielding that towards some darker agenda. Like, I think that there is a lot of big emotional rich territory to mine there as far as that stuff that's already been happening on the show.
Kind of. And this is so, you know, to LaTanya's point, right? Like my first thing about Reed Richards, yeah, that's about theorizing. We theorize a lot. So we want to talk about characters' motivations and all that stuff. Then very much so, I am not disappointed, but like as a storyteller, I think the way that this was doled out and done was not good. Because for a few reasons. One, I think just looking at the reveal happening, right? This was done in such a, I don't want to say J.J. Abrams-esque way, but like it's one of those things of putting forward these things that like you're supposed to lay the breadcrumbs properly, right? Like that's the whole thing. And when the reveal happens, you're like, oh. And instead the reveal becomes like, wait, but we saw this moment, and it's just like, right, but the camera wasn't on her. And there's a famous video game that's really critically acclaimed, and I love the video game still, that like a reveal happens and you're there, and I don't want to spoil it, so like, but you're there and you're just like the reveal, and you're just like, oh, it was this person, and you're just like, how is that possible? I literally saw these scenes happen. And to do that, I think it's purposely trying to like fool your audience without telling the story in a proper way. The idea, because Agatha also has been our entry point into the suffering being experienced. We had one small moment with Norm. We had one small moment with Herb, but so many of them were all Agatha that it was now becoming, it was just like, aha, well, we fooled you because she has just been acting the whole time. Whereas if we had less of that, if the other people were the entry point into the suffering and she had maybe one or two, and then we got more with Norm, we got more with Herb, we got more with the other people to see that they are also suffering versus every single time we saw Agatha, it was like, ha ha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you turn the camera, she was doing stuff. I think that's not like effective storytelling. I also think the reveal coming this late in the game is another way, because of doing that rug pull so late without, I think, properly do like laying the breadcrumbs, quote unquote, it becomes tricky and it becomes like a payoff that feels like, I mean, I guess, but like just from like when you're looking at how to tell the story and that sort of thing, it is faulty. And there's a lot of people who were like, well, the crumbs were there, but the crumbs weren't there because we were all theorizing, like with the dog, it became like, well, what if she killed him? And it's like, well, we're thinking that because we suspect her. But the only reason we suspect her is because we knew the name Agatha Harkness and we think that she's that character. If you were just reading it, none of the stuff they presented would have effectively laid the groundwork for that to happen. And that's just on the reveal. That's not even on the ramifications of it. But I'll let you guys talk about that part before I go into the last.
So a couple things about the reveal. I do think that this show is trying to attract fans like us who have seen like every movie in the MCU multiple times. And like, you know, you all who have read a bunch of the comics, I'm not one of the people who's read a bunch of the comics. That's like a blind spot for me that I would like to correct. And also lots of people who have never, you have only had maybe a passing interest, seen some of the movies, don't really know a lot about the characters, but have gotten like sucked into this show because the cast is so great and the conceit of it is really cool. So if you're looking at it from like that standpoint in terms of how you're marketing and like making a show, and you're trying to bring in as many people to your audience as you can, and a lot of those people are newer people, then having that Agnes reveal at the end of the episode 7 is really huge. And the reason I think that is because of what a lot of casual fans on Twitter have been saying about how excited they were for that reveal. It might not be something that's super appealing to us, and we might think that it's like a little bit cheesy, maybe, especially because the song itself was so spot on. And you're right, she's like in the background doing magic spells and things like that. But for people who are just entering this universe through this show, I'm sure that that was really cool. And also, for Catherine Hahn fans, I've been a Catherine Hahn fan for a very long time, like before Step Brothers even. You know, that having her be the big bad of the show is really cool, and that reveal like really lands for them. In terms of what you were saying about kind of how like the impact of it lands, or whether or not there were breadcrumbs along the way, I think that there were, and that maybe we were just over theorizing over the breadcrumbs. She all the time was wearing this like brooch of the three sisters. And if you go back into like actual Wiccan, like witch lore, and you think that it's possible that Agnes might have been one of the original three witches, then that brooch that was always there is something that could tie her to being a witch. If you think about the fact that she herself was always there to just show up to solve problems for Wanda, then that's another kind of like breadcrumb that leads you to believe, like, why is this one person consistently always there with exactly what Wanda needs in this situation? How would she even know that? So there are some things that I think are seeded that we maybe just haven't paid as close of attention to. Maybe because we've been theorizing about who's coming next. And I'm not saying that there's a problem with that. I'm not saying that that's good or bad. I'm just saying that it's out there.
I'm going to somewhat strong disagree on the sense of like the theorizing and who's next is what lost it. Because I mean, this Agatha thing has been a part of it. And we've been talking about the stuff she's been doing and how she's been showing up and all that stuff. I'm not even talking about the disappointment of a fan. I'm talking straight up just how you tell stories and the effectiveness of that. And I think, again, a witch brooch, again, if you're just like, oh, well, she's wearing the witch brooch, therefore she must be a witch, is like, okay, that's something. But the reveal of the fact that, like, oh, she's the one behind everything. And the idea is, like, she's showing up constantly all the time whenever the time comes. A lot of people kept popping up here and there within the world of the show, like Dottie for many times. There's other characters that
we're not out of the woods
in.
On Dottie, though. Yeah. You know, we're not out of the woods on some of these people.
But like, that's my point, is that like the breadcrumbs, I think, because again, it's really hard to say because like we're here, you know, we are also somewhat familiar with certain things. We're looking for certain things. And the casual fan probably, yeah, it's a reveal. And I'm not talking about like the goofiness of it. I'm just talking about the literal idea that like, even from that, without the goofy presentation, that everything you saw is not what you quite saw, just because we manipulated camera work, isn't exactly like, in my opinion, a great storytelling device. I think it's purposefully tricky just to be tricky, as opposed to,
I don't know, does it not interact with like television structure and television history, which is the thing the show is doing?
But that's the thing. I feel like it's not about like the even the like the camera wasn't there, because it's just like that's stuff that isn't even laid in into their sitcom camera work that they have been formatting and done, right? Like, even if you look at, like, The Office stuff, well, what they cut to is, like, B footage. And the B footage was just literally when you saw her in the car with Vision, there was a different camera, I guess, that, like, had a different angle that saw her do that, and then she turned back to him. There's, like, those little things, which is very fun and very cool. And I'm not even saying, like, it's not fun, the payoff wasn't, like, necessarily worth it. I'm just saying the structure and how they delivered it, to me, in terms of, like, the experience of watching it, is a fun moment. But then in retrospect, I look at these things and I'm just like, okay, well, that really just affects what we've seen so far. The same way that I really loved that video game, but I'm just like, but now that video game to me is just like, none of it makes sense if you ever look at it again.
Is it the game that you made me play?
Oh, you did? No, not that one. That one, I think, worked. The clues were there for that one. That one had the clues right, laid out.
Now we're getting really niche because no one's going to know what we're talking about.
You're talking about a game that you're not telling any of us about.
But yeah, so those are things that I'm just sticking on a little bit. And I think, again, the payoff can be fun and the payoff can be worth it. But, like, and again, the big reveal of, like, this is the quote-unquote big bad. And yes, there's more that'll be coming in the coming weeks, in the two episodes we have left, it'll explain. But then that also leads me into the last point I have about this reveal and, like, what we were saying about the idea of grief and everything. And there's still potential to, like, show how this works, but the idea that it was Agatha all along, I sort of really don't like, in the sense of, like, even manipulating someone, that idea, taking away the idea of, like, what grief can do to a person in terms of how Monica deals with it versus how Wanda's dealing with it. I mean, it's what we were talking about. All of a sudden, it could very well get this easy write-off to be like, well, because she's a hero, we're going to make it that she isn't fully responsible for this. And it's just like, white women get away with everything. And, like, that's what I'm afraid of at the end of the day, is that that's the route we're heading towards here. And I really feel like ripping away that type of discussion to have it be someone else was here doing stuff, I think is a little cheap and plays it a little safe onto what could be a powerful discussion about the ways in which grief can be dangerous and how that affects people.
Yeah.
If Wanda is now going to be like, well, Agatha was doing a lot of stuff to make her more crazy, and that, like, and again, they'll find the line, I'm sure, maybe they will, but, like, it just feels like it ripped away something that could have been a really true discussion about, like, someone with this power not knowing, you know, how to properly cope and using it to disadvantage. It's sort of what I was saying before, the dangers of a power like this. And the idea is just like, well, there was someone else manipulating her to push her that way. It's just like, okay, I guess.
Could still be a very powerful recitation on grief and what that does to you. Because when you are hurting and you're in pain, you kind of reach for the closest thing to you. And that thing is not always good. That person may not always be good for you, but they're there, and then they turn out to be using you for whatever it is that their cause is. I do think that a lot of this is Wanda and Wanda's powers, because I really don't know how you accomplish any of the things that she's able to accomplish, especially, like, expanding the perimeter. Like, that's all her. I do think that maybe she was, you know, there's a grimoire there that we see once Wanda goes down into the basement and
there's a thought that it's the Darkhold, which is something that Kevin, I'm sure you could guide us through, but apparently has been featured on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. previously.
Well, and it looked very
different. No, but it looked very different,
that.
Apparently. And so, like, if this is the Darkhold, then this is, like, massive Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. erasure. So there are people who are huge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans who are, like, a little flipped out right now.
I'm actually not familiar with the Darkhold.
Just to give them some voice.
I can talk about the Nexus of Realities, which is another theory about what that place is, but I didn't know the Darkhold stuff. So, unfortunately, that's a little bit of a blank spot for me.
The Darkhold sounds pretty cool, though.
I get what you're saying.
Let's go to the Darkhold.
Are we talking about our good friend Sean, who is part of the Discord and has a character named Darkhold in the D&D podcast? Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Sign up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps to meet Sean as Darkhold in the Dungeons & Dragons game we're all
playing
together.
That is the other thing I noticed while I was gone, is that this entire podcast is really just a commercial for Dungeons & Dragons games on the Discord, which you can find where, Josh? Where can you find them?
Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
Great.
But like, and I get what you're saying.
I do just quickly want to say, like, everything that you just said, like, check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark. I feel 100% the way that you do.
And I would too, if that's, again, what they were doing, because Wanda had no idea that this person was someone they're interacting with outside the bubble. So like, the idea of turning to people that are bad for you can be great if that was what was essentially happening. But it's this person inserting themselves into Wanda and like leading her down a path while Wanda's unaware of who this person is and what's happening. It, like, I get what you're saying. That absolutely happens. I've been in enough situations where
this doesn't negate the possibility that she walked into this, like, you know, quote unquote willingly, like, or like, you know, walked into this and like had interactions with Agnes and like, or Agatha. It's going to take a minute. And like part of whatever deal, you know, she starts to lose pieces, like Westview becomes her only reality or whatever. Like, you know, like I think because Latanya, one of the things that I wasn't even thinking about it in the terms of like people can be bad for you. And that's like the very like clear one, because this is a person, we're talking about a character. You know, I guess like I frame it through my stuff. It's like, you know, the drink can be bad, right? Like, you know, and like there's like the idea of like, you get so deep into the like the throes of being drunk or being high or whatever it is, the further and further you spiral into your addiction, that the more unreal everything feels, like the unreality becomes your reality. I speak this from lived experience. And so I feel like the fact that like Wanda goes into the basement and sees Agatha, and Agatha has to have like this sort of like big mustache twirly TV reveal, which is very cute within the TV framework, I think. And Wanda does not seem to understand that this is a piece of it, does not negate the possibility that this was a hand in hand walk into Westview that is now just like slowly, there's like a slow attrition, that is occurring. Like, I think that that is, very realistic within certain ways of coping with grief, that you like, you forget what brought you there. You forget like how you got so low.
Yeah. And that can, like I said, it doesn't negate anything, but then like, what are we doing here if not talking about and talking about like what could happen or what couldn't happen, and, you know, like not theorizing necessarily, but looking at how this can play out. And I think all of these are valuable options, and all of these, like, Josh, that, you know, that direction I think is brilliant and smart and very, you know, introspective. And the same thing with you, Latanya, what you just said, everything about like turning to certain people and how that people can manipulate without knowing, all excellent if they do that. I'm just saying there's also the possibility they don't. And this is a way it can happen. Yeah. And I think that's what we're doing here, right? We're just discussing how this ramifications can go in various ways.
Well, Latanya and I were talking about just kicking you off the podcast outright. But like, now that you said that piece, we'll just stick around.
I'm going to fly over there to bring it back around.
Yes. Fight.
That all said, all of that out there, you know, how I feel about it, and we'll see how it plays out. And I don't like it for those particular reasons and my concerns. Catherine Hahn.
She's so good.
She was in her element
even before
the reveal. Just that cut to of just I actually did bite a kid once. So quintessentially her, and I just loved it. I was so excited to like have that, like the have Catherine Hahn be Catherine Hahn, and the same thing when the reveal happened.
Twitter trending topic. Twitter trending hashtag Catherine Hahn.
I love it so much for her, because she's such a journey woman of an actress.
Yeah.
You know,
Mrs.
like
Fletcher, you know, she's just incredible.
Mrs. Fletcher, I Love Dick, which is an actual show and not just something I'm proclaiming.
She's so good.
All those commercials for like the SUV that she was doing at one point. She was great
just
in all
like
of those.
Getting that money. That's fine. Get your bag, whatever it is that you need to do, Catherine Hahn. I support you. Like, I believe a fellow Chicagoan, like originally. Excited for, you know, like, this is Hollywood where Catherine Hahn is not very old. I believe she's in her 40s, but this is the type of place where you can, like, become irrelevant if, you know, at starting at that age and then only start playing grandmothers or something like that. And Catherine Hahn has just consistently been working her butt off, doing role after role where she's killed it and been the standout. And now she gets to trend on Twitter, which must be as fantastic as it was for her to have that conversation with Rachel Weisz. I don't know if anyone has seen like the round table discussion memes that have been going around. Katherine Hahn is like just with a bunch of other actresses talking about being good actresses. And she's seated next to Rachel Weisz and her face is just like, I'm falling in love the whole time Rachel Weisz is talking. It just made me happy. Just makes me happy for them.
Yeah, she's so good. We could talk about it all day long. There's just so much other material in this episode to cover that I think we really got to get into, not the least of which, of course, is Monica Rambeau and the fact that she's getting all powered up. And I don't know all of the different aliases, like Spectrum, I know, I think.
Spectrum, Captain Marvel, Photon, Captain Photon, Marvel.
Spectrum, Pulsar. I think those are the main four.
Yeah, well, whatever, Monica Rambeau.
I think she should have all the names, like Lucy.
Yes, I think that's a great call. I think that's awesome. She's super cool. She's got her power set now, which is what?
Energy manipulation, basically. Yeah. She's able to manipulate absorbency, I think, across the electromagnetic spectrum. And also, I think, can convert herself into energy at a certain point. So it is very cool to see her have her powers. It was cool to see her eyes light up and her come into like the time for the superhero pose, right? We all want to be able to do that.
We all want to be able to do it.
Like it was awesome seeing that happen and her breaking free. And this is what's interesting too, right? Her breaking free of Wanda and the blue glow of those eyes is very much this looks like the space stone, right? Like the one of the Infinity Stones used by Thanos, in which he gathered together in order to snap his fingers and manipulate all of reality and erase half of the population of the universe. Each
was
one
that
of these stones,
the one in the Tesseract, or was that the Mind Stone?
That's the one in the Tesseract.
Okay.
So that's really interesting, right? Like that to have that glow of her eyes match one of the Infinity Stones, which is one explaining how she's probably able to break free of Wanda, because we've seen these Infinity Stones are able to affect each other, essentially. So that's really cool. And also, you know, the color of that reminded me very much of the purple we saw for Agnes and Underground, which is the same color as the Power Stone. So this is really interesting. We're kind of possibly seeing some of the effects of the Infinity Stones after they were destroyed. Maybe they just disseminated across the world. Who knows what happened? But I like the idea of the Infinity Stones are gone, but they could still be affecting stuff on a massive scale across the universe.
They're gone in that timeline anyway.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know? What I also think is really cool, I love when this show does horror. I just love it so much. It makes me so happy.
Don't go into the basement, Wanda.
I know. The don't go into the basement, Wanda was definitely a thing I yelled. Because you have to, it's like part of the social contract of horror.
Yeah.
And then going down there, like, you know that this is probably going to be the place where like flashbacks happen. It looks like she's going into the woods, not to like start a whole musical jaunt here. But you know, it's all like very woodsy down there. Like, we don't know where it leads. Where are the twins?
They're currently, I believe, a beetle and a gerbil.
Correct. A rabbit.
Sorry.
I think it's a flying insect, not a beetle. So like some sort of like.
Yeah, they're currently some sort of flying insect and a rabbit. Mm-hmm. Latanya, it would be my thinking.
No. Right now. Yeah.
When she came down and she's petting the rabbit, that's one of the kids.
The rabbit existed before, I guess, unless she put him in the rabbit, because Wiccan was definitely playing with the rabbit and feeding the rabbit. I rewound it because the rabbit was cute.
Was Tommy there?
Tommy was there. They were having the conversation where Billy is Wiccan, right?
Billy is Wiccan. Yes.
Okay. That's the one I like the most. They were having the conversation where Billy said, I like it here because it's quiet. You're quiet, Agnes, on the inside. So they were both there. Senor Scratchy, the bunny, was also there. So, did she put that poor child into that bunny?
Or it could be like the comics and they don't exist. And whenever Agnes doesn't want them around, she just, you know. I guess in the comics, it was whenever Wanda wasn't looking at them.
I'm to understand.
Tommy, but more about Billy.
I'm to understand that Senior Scratchy is sus. that there are
it's an imposter in there.
I'm not really kidding. I understand that there are some people who are deeply sus of Senior Scratchy, which would be awesome.
Well, I wonder if this implies that you know, there was a post credits, right? And like we've never seen, I don't think we've seen Ralph. I mean, I think we haven't seen Ralph. So like Pietro, I think that was thrown out as a possible idea that Pietro is Ralph, and that's sort of what happened here.
Is that Mephisto? Right. Are we still on this?
I think that they're like the popular theories are Mephisto, who is literally the devil.
Satan.
He's the devil. He's Satan. It's a battle of good and evil. There's also Nightmare is a thought. I don't really know who Nightmare is, but I keep seeing people talking about Nightmare.
I heard the great Joanna Robinson talk about Nightmare on that podcast. The one that I avoid before recording this one because I don't want anything to seep in.
You don't want that theory infiltration. I totally get it. I get it. Listen after. I totally get that.
Kevin will let you speak more to this, but Nightmare sounds like a really cool possibility. From the comics.
Yeah, I'm trying to run through, and if Nightmare is the one who's like literally just like a black shadow like creature that's demonic, right? If that's what I'm thinking
looks
of.
Yeah, could be.
And then like you know, makes your worst dreams come true. Yeah. It's like Freddy Krueger, which love it. Let's do it.
Well, then let's make sure that we get a Welcome to Primetime Witch at some point on WandaVision.
I'm trying to remember, too, if like, because Nightmare was a main villain of someone. I feel like, in my head, I'm like, is it Luke Cage? But I don't think that's correct. But yeah, it'd be really interesting, again, to see which way they go with this, right? Like, do we need the next step? And maybe they will. Maybe we'll have that as well. What's interesting, too, though, LaTanya, about the, what you're saying, like, the Into the Woods, right? So this, I'll try to explain this the best I can here. So the commercial was about this thing called Nexus. It was a drug that allows you to make your own reality or find the reality that's right for you. So in the comics, the Nexus of Realities is a thing. The Nexus of Realities is one, like can be a place, but it's the convergence of essentially a point per world where it touches all the other realities. So it is the nexus point where all the other realities can stem from. So if you are on a specific Earth and you're at that point, you can essentially access the other worlds. So that's what Nexus of All Realities is. And in our world, if I'm not mistaken, this is connected to something called Man-Thing, which is just basically Swamp Thing, who is this like woodsy, swampy creature. So I think that effect of the woods and the vines is also, I think, a subtle, possibly, you know, reference to that.
Wow, the we're going Man Thing, huh?
Yeah. What a name. So when she goes down there, there could be the implication that this is like the nexus of reality point and why things are like flipping so much could be that, right?
It's in Jersey?
It's in New Jersey. the nexus of all reality.
Yeah. So it's New Jersey, the Garden State?
There's no way. Well, the Garden State,
we're pulling in Man Thing, like it's true. Creature.
It's true. Then I hope that Bruce Springsteen is Nightmare. May he be the boss. May he be the boss in this world.
This is really just how we get to the Sopranos movie, and like no one ever told us about it.
Yes, so. I think that's right.
So you know, not to get too lost for non-comic book people, but essentially what this can imply in a sense of the show, right? Like if this is a nexus point in which all realities intersect, Wanda being there and the whatever's happening with her and Agatha and the changing worlds could essentially affect our reality on a broader scale. That could be the lead into the multiverse that we see in the What If animated series that's supposed to be coming out, and also leading into Wanda and a Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. If something happens in this moment, this is the nexus point of all of the realities and something breaks, fractures, or shatters, that could lead into a lot of the stuff that could be in Doctor Strange. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there. Again, a lot of theorizing, a lot of possibilities that we don't necessarily know. I just wanted to also toss in that other part of all this beyond the like Mephisto, beyond the bad guy Mephisto or Nightmare. Also, there's a nexus point of realities. There's something called a Man Thing.
Yeah, there's a Man Thing. I also feel like I have to comment on this because Marvel Twitter started losing their minds over the last few days over the possibility of who could what actor, what major name actor could find their way into WandaVision based on like a Paul Bettany interview saying like someone who I'm really excited about. No one's even there. And so like everyone's like, so who's Paul Bettany's like lifetime favorite actor? Because that seemed to be the implication.
Was that not Nicolas
Cage?
No. Was it not Deborah Jo Rump from in episode two?
No, you're both wrong. You're both the opposite of that there is some theorizing of Al Pacino showing up in WandaVision.
Just playing the devil
which to me is both A, hysterical, B, I'd be here for it, and C, no way. Like, we're all losing. This is like, but this is what I wanted to talk about before is like the balance between the danger of like losing your shit on a week to week show like this versus the joy of it, because to have even like a 5 minute period where you're like Al Pacino on one, like that's very fun to me. If you're like not getting too lost in the process and like this has been, you know, like the weekly theorizing thing. It's been the post show recaps, bread and butter forever. So like I'm really like locked into that place. And I feel like I've mostly learned my lessons from Lost to appreciate the stuff that matters the most, which is like character and theme and music and set design and all that good stuff. But the theorizing can be fun. It can. It really can. And like the batshit stuff of like, but what if it's Al Pacino?
No, Hunters on Amazon Prime. So, like, who even knows?
LaTanya said it better, that's though. Right. I'd rather than Al Pacino, show me Nicolas Cage with a flaming skull head coming out on a motorcycle looking at Agatha more. Just going like, guilty.
I could not agree more. Have Nicolas Cage show up and drag Agatha to the Sony reality would be hysterical. That would be really, really great. Oh my gosh. But I think there's like another reveal coming. Whatever it is.
There has to be another reveal coming.
Of course.
Can we talk about the work that Elizabeth Olsen did in this episode?
She's marvelous. She's just like the fully effing over it stuff is just so good.
So good. I would get up, but I just don't want to.
Yeah.
So how everyone feels right now and like nearing a year of the Quar. Yeah. Just like being in our homes.
Well, she's been doing like all of them have been doing such great jobs mimicking specific people almost in these things. And she does such a great job mimicking Julie Bowen. Julie Bowen, thank you. That's Darla from Angel. But anyway, does such a good job mimicking Julie Bowen. And I think, you know, Vision was going very like kind of Ty Burrell at parts, which I think is A+. I like everything she was doing when she was talking to the camera. I thought it's so good. And people are hot and cold on that mockumentary style. But I personally have like loved it as a modern way of doing storytelling. I think it's really interesting. The single camera style started obviously was famously from Arrested Development, and that's evolved obviously through The Office, Parks and Rec, to Modern Family. So that was really cool. Even the break, I love the cameraman saying something, and she's like, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to talk." Like that's such a fun moment because like The Office did that in its last season where they had someone from behind the camera show up, and it was such a like, "Oh my god!" moment. So again, the show's ability to pull these reference points from the sitcoms that they're talking about to the actors mimicking it all. She's so good, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna get more Elizabeth Olsen because she's in a movie in the future. But it does make me sad because I keep thinking like she's really great. Paul Bettany's really great, but there's a high possibility we get no more Paul Bettany after this. And he was also so good in this episode.
LaTanya, where are you at with that? Do you think that this is a victory lap for Paul Bettany, or do you think that Vision's got life beyond this thing?
I'm of two minds about it. The reason I'm of two minds about it is because of whatever Hayward was doing in the little laboratory that Wanda got the body from, shows that there has to be some type of technology that would allow a Vision to be rebuilt and then repurposed. So if it's possible for him to be rebuilt, and also we kind of lost the thread on what Shuri was doing at the end of Infinity War when she was trying to separate the Mind Stone from Vision. We don't know how far along she actually got in that process. So there are still like minds out there that I think could possibly make Vision real again, like himself again.
A real boy.
A real boy. He's a man.
A Wonder Man, some might say.
He's an evolved Wonder Man.
Oh, right.
Comics.
Wait, yeah. What is that?
So...
Oh, right.
In the comics, this is such a comic books, man.
Well, I know who Wonder Man is. He's like the West Coast Avenger primarily, right? Who's like a Hollywood douche.
Correct, but his brainwave
patterns. He has some Vision-ish thing.
His brainwave patterns are what Vision was used to base off of. Wonder Man was dying, and they used his brainwaves to essentially bring him back to life as Vision. Unless I don't think I'm reversing that. I think that is what it is.
No, I think.
But
that's
then he also came back to life later. So there's Vision and Wonder Man. They're two very different people. And also then part Ultron's connected there because
led to
the creation
of Ultron. I really hope that one of the things that happens before WandaVision calls it is we see like how Wanda brought Vision back to life is by watching like her favorite actor on TV, and that's mother effing Wonder Man. And so she like divined from her favorite character Wonder Man and glommed that onto Vision. Give me that. I want that.
That'd be I want that. I need that.
So that's the first mind about it is that there are ways there's technology ways because you know he is a synthesoid. So there's
it's also comics.
You could always come back to life at any time. For the sake of this story, though. I am very, very terrified that Vision will die at the end of all of this. Once the hex is down and all of that is over, then I think this might be like the final goodbye to Vision. And that's what kind of catapults Wanda into the multiverse of madness.
Yeah. Well, how about this? All right.
Josh is going galaxy brain right now. For no one who's able to see it.
Big brain. I'm literally holding my head as I'm going, oh my God, big brain. What if? The human form, because we've never seen Vision in Paul Bettany human form before now. Like, he's always been visioned up.
That is accurate.
But what if?
Infinity War, right? At the beginning?
No,
Infinity War, you're right. At the very beginning, Wanda talking in the room, and he has a glowing mind stone there, but he is Paul Bettany'd.
I'm very, very much like Cher when it comes to, like, Polonius. I know when Paul Bettany has been present.
That's so funny. Hold on. I'm pulling up Infinity War. He's scanning. Find the vision. Find Wanda. Find the vision. Where are they? They're not here yet. They're coming up. I'm almost there. He's Paul Bettany. Oh God, he is Paul Bettany there. This doesn't necessarily negate what I was going to say, but what if he took that human form
based on a guy who exists in
the MCU who is Wonder Man? And so he already took that lace, and Paul Bettany gets to play Wonder Man.
That would be great.
It would just be the incredible, like, continuing, like, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants style journey for Paul Bettany through the MCU. He was Jarvis, he was Vision, he was Wonder Man. Let me have this.
I mean, name it.
Make him be an actor in the MCU. Would be hilarious.
I don't want him to ever leave. That's the thing, is I'm very, very scared that at the end of this show, he's going to leave.
And then give him a show, LaTanya, where he gets to play Vision and Wonder Man and the Return of Jarvis. Let him play three characters at once.
Give him a one-man show.
I mean, look, here's what I'm looking forward to at this point.
That's why it's Wonder Vision, because he's Wonder Man, and he's going to...
You can have that, and then afterwards, he needs, you know, if Wanda and him don't end up okay, he needs to have a companion of his own, so he then uses, is it Friday is the character's name in Spider-Man?
Yeah.
He uses
it's Friday Jennifer Connelly.
To
yeah.
build a body for his companion, who is the voice of his real-life wife, Jennifer Connelly, and all of a sudden... Vision and Jocasta.
Don't tell me.
Oh my God. Tell
me. Don't you tell me. Don't you tell me that theorizing can't be fun. Don't you dare tell me that shitposting can't be a blast. We're having a great time here on the WandaVision podcast. You know what?
That's the goal, though, right? I think temper expectations is the right thing. Have fun with the theorizing. But if you get too far and lay the ground of like, oh God, this has to happen. Like, I got so excited about the idea of like, mutants are coming, but I have to temper my expectations.
All right, let's cool the jets. Right. Cool the Blackbird.
And we're able to like, do this ridiculous stuff here that so many people probably can't follow along on, but it's fun and it's entertaining to do that. It's just temper where it's going to be ahead. And I think that's the right way to do it. So yeah. You know what? Jennifer Connelly coming to the MCU. You heard it here in a physical body as Jocasta to hook up with her real life husband, Paul Bettany.
Enjoy your double job because you're busy right now on Snowpiercer, but that's fine. You can make some time.
People get to do multiple things now. It's cool. Like, you're not just like locked into one series regular gig if you have a good contract, at least.
She never showed up on the set, from what I heard, because she was so busy. So,
what, on Spider-Man?
No, on this show.
Oh, on Snowpiercer.
No.
I got you. Okay,
on WandaVision.
Okay.
The show upon which we podcast.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What are we talking about? All right. Some more quick hits. We got to talk Dr. Darcy Lewis.
Oh, my God.
Because she great to get Kat Dennings in the sitcom element. She was great.
Can I help you, Creeper?
Yeah. Creeping on Vision, or Vision creeping on Darcy, rather, was really funny.
Is she Mr. Miracle? With her escape artistry, or is she going to be? I mean, people have made the joke of Shadow Cat Dennings, Shadow Cat being a very famous X-Men character who's able to phase through and pass through things. So the idea
that'll
of her
be great.
Passing through her escape artistry would be really funny. The Mr. Miracle joke is a DC character, so that is not where we're heading here. But she was really great.
She was great.
She was great. I loved watching her smack that dude in the face. And then like get away in a a funnel cake van that was called Funnel of Love.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed all of that. The whole office component there between the two of them when they were trying to like figure out what was going on. There was some Jim looks to the camera and like
yes,
you were saying,
yes.
Like, you know, channeling Ty Burrell from Modern Family as well. And then just eventually realizing, oh, wait, I can just get out of here and go wherever I want.
When he also gets about it, what am I doing? What is
yeah.
That?
Yeah, that's great.
And
that's fun.
The beginning of the conversation with, because I just kind of think of when I'm explaining this show to people, I'm very much like Darcy explaining what happened to Vision, and Vision being like, so Wanda killed me. Just like, yes.
You died twice.
You were immediately brought back to life, and then you were killed again, and she had to watch.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what?
Yeah. I loved experiencing that through him. That was really great.
Like, all their scenes together were really funny. I listened to an interview with Kat Dennings, the one that I referenced before when I was saying that she really was, like, getting lines written for her, like, on the day when she was in the Thor movies.
Yeah,
because she was added to stuff, and that's probably why she didn't click as much as some people would like. But on here, she's just fantastic, mm-hmm. and she was talking about how fun it was, like how Paul Bettany was her favorite person in the world. So I knew that there were going to be some scenes with them together on the show, and so I'm just glad that they turned out so well.
Totally agreed. And then what have we not really touched on enough? Maybe Pietro and the post credits.
Yeah, fake Pietro.
Or possibly still real Pietro. He was dressed in tie-dye, which is a very 60s element, which is when the X-Men stuff took place in which he appeared. So, not totally, I guess, far gone there. Or was it the 60s or was it the 70s? I don't remember. Who knows the X-Men films anymore? But could be.
It was Days of Future Past. So yeah, who's to say? What
70s, I believe, is future past. Yeah.
Snooper's gonna snoop is a funny line. But I do completely believe that Monica can destroy him or
totally
blast
agree.
Him yeah. or whatever. I'm excited for whatever fight is gonna occur.
Is it necessarily a fight? Could it be a team up? Like, if he is genuinely Pietro and he's, like, concerned for his sister, like, is it like, hey, let's do something?
The purple magic around him. He's being manipulated by Agatha.
And then he passed it to her.
That could be shirked pretty quickly, no? I mean, like, that could be Vision shows up and just, like, taps him on the temple, or even Monica can just, like, zap some shit off of him or whatever.
It's really interesting.
We haven't really seen Monica's powers yet.
In, like, that context, yeah.
And it's really interesting to see, or, how, like, The Infinity Stones are such weird rock, paper, scissors moments in a way of like which stone does what to which stone. Because you have that moment too where, you know, which I think was really interesting. And I like that this is the desperation, right? Like Wanda almost wrecks him and he at Thanos and he has to call down the airstrike to survive. And then he tries to headbutt Captain Marvel, fails. And she's about to take him out. And he gets so desperate, he literally rips the Power Stone, the purple one, out of the gauntlet, which, it, according to the lore, would kill him eventually by just holding it in his hand for too long, and just, like, punches her. And that's the only way, and he slaps it back in. It's the only way he was able to take her down was by using the Power Stone. So I think it's interesting in this way of, like, rock, paper, scissors thing, where it's just like, okay, power beats blue, you know, blue beats red, you know, like what the colors are going to be, which doesn't even account then for Vision, who has technically has one of the stones as well. So we're going to see a lot of colors coming up, I think.
Cool.
In the final two.
Like
Kevin, very excited for colors.
Yeah, maybe that's a tie-dye reference. We're going to have a lot of tie-dye colors going
on. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Monica's going to take him down. I'm kind of like looking forward to like a speedy fight and then some energy absorption and whatever power it is that she has.
Yeah, we've got two episodes left. I think, like, you know, what more is there to do sitcom history style? Are we just moving into, like, primetime MCU stuff with, like, the wool pulled over Wanda's eyes? It's now gone. Is this, are we basically, like, in full-on movie mode for the next
We got a post-credits. Like, we're like, right? Like, we got a post-credits scene. That is a signature of Marvel.
And that feels intentional of, like, signaling to us, like, now we're in, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, like, that's the style we're in.
Maybe we're in an episode of American Horror Story or something like that.
Oh, you know? Man.
Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Peter's there.
Yeah,
so.
He's Rubber Man.
We could be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though. We could be heading into that era of television.
Don't get me started on Rubber Man.
Yeah, Rubber Man sucks. Anyway. cool. I'm very excited. A good spirited debate between friends. I love this stuff. This is really, really, really fun.
So good.
I'm so happy to have the three of us on here. We will be back next week. We've got so much more. We've got two full episodes left of this thing. And who the heck knows? A movie-length,
one would say.
Yes, a movie-length return. For WandaVision coming next week. Quickly, before we call it here, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps, our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Eventually, perhaps we shall be sponsored by Nexus in a future podcast.
For whatever reality you'd like to be in.
Yeah, that could be.
So many other realities. I'd like to be just in one that
any
none
other
of this
one
shit happened with the world right now.
So speaking of spirited debates between the three of us, there's one incoming, which I'm pumped about. On Tuesday night, the game plan is 8 p.m. Eastern. The time may be a little flexible. We are going to be the three of us talking about Attack of the Clones for our second and final Attack of the Clones podcast on A Long Time to Go. It'll be a signature. It'll be a hybrid rather of the Duel of the Fates format from, the last time the three of us talked Star Wars, as well as feedback. We're going to combine the two into one. And that'll be that on Attack of the Clones. And I think the preview here is, Kevin, you don't like Attack of the Clones, right?
I don't. It was my least favorite, I think, from when I saw them for a long time. This will be my first time rewatching Attack of the Clones in a long time. I always try to wait till we're closer, so it's always super fresh in my mind. So I'll probably be watching it either tonight or the day before. I don't. And I have feelings. Once again, the ending fight scene, something I'm very passionate about.
Kiki Flippy really caught fire, by the way. LaTanya, you recently watched Attack of the Clones for the first time. Quick preview of your thoughts. Yes.
I went into it with everyone saying, oh no, this is the one that you have to watch now. Okay. So my expectations were so low, like on the ground.
No, that's another movie that's coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, Solo's future
there were Solo's stuff. later. My expectations were like beneath the earth. So I was pleasantly surprised, honestly, by how much I enjoyed this movie. There was a point, I will admit, where I looked at how much time was left and I was like, what could you possibly do for another 45 minutes? So, you know, there's a mix of that in there. But I overall enjoyed it. Maybe it's because of my frazzled mental state and the fact that I'm very much like Wanda at the beginning of this episode right now. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed Attack of the Clones.
I love it. I'm so excited to talk about it. It's going to be a really fun podcast. We're doing it live. We're going to be doing the podcast live for the patrons of Post Show Recaps at that time slot Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, rough time again. It could be a few minutes past that, could be a half hour past that. We'll see. But we're going to have a really, really good time. So if you are not a patron of Post Show Recaps yet and you want to watch that episode live, now would be the time to sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Otherwise, the podcast will drop on the A Long Time to Go feed this coming Thursday. So really exciting stuff with the three of us. So with all of that said, two more WandaVisions to go. Can't wait. Very excited. I'm not going to sing again on the outro. I can't do it. It's been a lot of talking over the last hour, and I don't have the vocal range currently at my disposal to sing Agatha all along. But if either of you do have it, if either of you two have it, that would be fine.
I definitely not warmed do not up. Have vocal range.
No, they're not warmed up. All right, so no. Sing it in your hearts, dear listener, or out loud if you wish, as we will come back next week talking WandaVision. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is WandaVision.